Welcome one and all once again to Dual Wielding episode 28. And we have a very special episode lined up for you today. But before we do that, we have introductions. Joining me, as always, we have Daniel.
Oh, greetings.
From, I want to say Nintendo OKE?
Nah.
Oh, Nintendo Uni- what is your site?
Nintendo Universe.
That's what I was going to say, my second guess.
What's Nintendo OKE? That sounds like some kind of like celebrity gossip magazine.
I wouldn't be surprised if Nintendo had a gossip magazine. Like, what are Mario and Peach breaking up now this weekend about? But, yeah, it's from
How
Nintendo
How do we slag off apps games next week?
But that's Frobio's magazine. And, yes, we have Alex from Nintendo Universe. Co.uk or something like that.
It's got a hyphen in there somewhere as well, but we won't go into, like, specifics. It's fine. Let's not plug it.
Google
Let's
it.
Plug it.
That's what Google's for.
Yeah, let's move on, move on.
That reminds me, before, and we have Eddie from, well, right now Eddie's just from Twitter, I believe. He used to be a Go Nintendo reviewer.
I'm just sort of floating around at the moment, getting ready to move to the San Francisco Bay Area at the end of the month, so hopefully within the year I'll be somewhere else, but yeah, for now I'm just sort of drifting.
Yeah. But yeah, the Google comment reminded me of, I'm sure you've all seen the Gears of War 3 beta was out or whatever.
Yeah.
No.
There was,
Gears of War. I haven't seen anything about no beta. It's not like people have been desperate to get a code for it or anything.
Yeah. And this is, there was a workaround for the Gears of War 3 beta. If you can, use Microsoft Expert Zone to get a code or whatever. And one of the first steps in it was Google Expert Zone. And I had four people ask me, what does that mean? And I'm like, you go to Google and you type in expert
Why
zone.
Did you tell them? Why did you tell them? Is that stupid enough to not know what that is? You should just let them suffer, exactly.
I just found it funny that people were like, what is that? I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I mean, it read as one sentence, but it's like, go to Google and type in expert zone.
Were they Americans?
Not all of them. Not all of them. But there's that. But before we get to what we've been playing, the big news of the week, and I mean, it's pretty much been taking up the interweb spare for like the last 3 or 4 days now, is the rumors of what IGN is calling Project Cafe, or as I like to call it because of all the various names, the Super Wii HD 2.
Platinum Edition.
NES Edition.
Platinum Edition, which is, of course, the successor to the Wii.
Really?
That is rumored to be coming out, you know, next. I think it's rumored to be coming out in fall 2012, and it has a reveal at as we'll find out when we talk about this, there's conflicting rumors all around about.
It's just a mind F. Asterisk.
Yeah.
Asterisk.
We can swear here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because we have, you know, conflicting rumors that it's going to be revealed sometime this month, and then it's going to be a proper unveiling at E3 with third and first parties titles showing. And then, you know, it's going to be at E3 and whatever. But I guess we'll start from the beginning. I mean,
do you want me to run down this list of what it's supposed to have?
Sure. Or maybe you can start this with what it doesn't have, and that's probably shorter.
So, it's supposed to support HD TVs.
Well, you mean it's supposed to support HD.
Well, it says here it's supposed to support HD TVs.
That doesn't make sense.
it will come with a new tablet-style controller. It's supposedly more powerful than the 360 or the PS3, but at this point, that's not exactly hard. There's a rumor that it's less powerful than the 360 and PS3. It may include a Blu-ray drive. It may be backwards compatibility with the Wii. It may not be called the Wii 2. We may be revealed at E3 2011. We may not be able to buy it until 2012. There's another big surprise. So that's not vague, is it? there may be games that don't require motion controls, because the Wii had no games that didn't require those motion controls. There may be first-party titles from Nintendo, and there may be better third-party support.
That means that they're going to... Well, basically they're saying at E3 that they're going to have
These are just rumors, so you shouldn't take any of them as true.
Yes, this is why I tend not to do rumors on this site.
Nintendo may have no first-party games. Don't rely on it.
Well, you see, here's the thing, and this is another topic that came up this week, is that Nintendo shouldn't have any first-party games because then the third parties can't sell their games on Nintendo systems, which I think is bunk, but, you know, I was actually reading in Game Informer today. They had an article like why third-party games can't sell on Nintendo systems, and I'm just thinking like because third parties don't put out games to sell on the system. Like EA's talking about like you know if you look at the last three Nintendo systems, it's been dominated by first parties. And I for the life of me, I couldn't think of an EA game in the last 15 years on a Nintendo console that deserved to sell as much as a Nintendo game on their console.
Yeah, I mean the thing is though, what I found is because there is actually quite a lot of good games on the Wii from third parties. I mean,
there's
like,
a ton of great games.
But the thing is they're not. They don't get marketed effectively because they spend all their marketing budgets on 360 and PS3 titles, which, to be fair, do look a whole lot better graphically than Wii games. Yeah. But and there's still a lot of good games there. And
I was going to say that. I mean, I guess it's okay. I'm not going to get into the whole graphics debate because I'm not really reach into it.
Well, yeah.
But I think the part of it is, and this is something that's always struck me as weird this entire generation, and even further back, is that you'll have the Game Informer article now, like why don't third-party games sell on the Wii? And then you look at the last 5 years of Game Informer, and like what third-party games did they really cover? I realize that Wii and Nintendo aren't the big market, you know, big market story, even if they're the market leader, but there's a lot of third-party games that come out and they go under the radar because nobody wants to cover them. Or you'll see like a, you know, you'll see a one-page preview once and then you'll see a review and it's like, oh, and it's like, oh, why don't these games sell? And it's like, because you're not covering them, you're not talking about them. You'd rather talk about Call of Duty for 5 months, or you'd rather talk about the new Medal of Honor, or talk about how all these games are derivative of Call of Duty.
I mean, the thing is, it's all down to what people want to read, and as much as I hate to admit it, running a Nintendo website, you see sites like N4G where people submit stuff, and it's only the PlayStation stuff and the 360 stuff that really gets the traffic.
Not even the 360 on M4G, but that's another conversation entirely.
It depends on what 360 news. If it's news that the PS3 sold, like I hate to rag on M4G. Well, I don't hate.
It's not really ragging on it if you're telling the truth. So go ahead.
I don't like to talk about it too much, but it's always funny that I see this every week when these pop up. It's like you'll see articles like NPD, the 360 outsells the PS3. Who cares about sales figures? It's only North America. And then the next day, PS3 ships 50 million consoles. Yay, we won! Woohoo! And I'm like, you just said the day before you don't care about sales figures, but when it's in your favor, it's a big deal.
I think your problem there is assuming that fanboys have any degree of rationality whatsoever.
Oh, I don't think they do. I just find it really, you know, and then people, and when you point it out to M4G, they always say, no, we're not a Sony-dominated site. But you can, like Sony, I've seen this before, where you have a firmware update that will get 3 of the 5 top stories on the site.
Yeah.
It's a firmware update, especially on PS3 where it comes out like every 5 minutes. I cross my fingers whenever I turn on that system that I don't have to update it.
I mean, the thing is, I mean, for me, like, back when I just enjoy games, I didn't really use the internet much. I just kind of, you know, I got a magazine, read the magazine, played a game. And then, you know, I remember when I played Zelda at Christmas when it came out, Ocarina of Time on the N64. That was like the greatest, one of the greatest like gaming moments for me. And now, like with the internet and everything, everybody's on there all the time trying to keep up to date with everything. And it just seems so much more, people like to keep in contact with stuff. But N4G is just, it does my head in because it's just like, the stuff that gets clicked on is the most uninteresting stuff. And all the stuff that actually should, like, deserves people's attention just goes under the radar.
And so, the other thing, and then we'll end it because I really don't want to talk about it too much, is the fact that people are vultures. And I understand why you all want to kind of get your name out there and stuff like that. But, like, I help out Alex sometimes and I help out other people on Twitter. Like, they'll have articles and they're like, you know, if you want to approve this or whatever. But I go to click on the link and there's already like 50 reports that this is a duplicate. Somebody's already reported this. And I'm like, it's been 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Really, it's not that big of a deal. But you have people who are just like, you know, I'm the internet police, and it just kind of, it's annoying. Do you?
Yeah.
And make the other person do them. This moderator's on that site for that reason.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, there's people who, I mean, I use N4G because it's important to get traffic for your site, especially if you're a smaller site. And the thing is, when you submit something, you're then in the hands of everybody else in the community to approve it. So, mm-hmm. which is why you have to tweet it, because people just don't care. They'll submit their own stuff and then walk off. And, yes. and the problem is that if somebody reports it, even if it's an incorrect report, you're then stuck because you can't defend yourself.
Like, I thought you could defend yourself.
I think
you can disagree with it, but yeah, anyway.
What you need to do, Alex, right, is you need to post something derogatory towards Sony, right?
Yeah,
and
Nintendo.
And while you're at it, you should make up some wild rumor about the Wii 2.
Yeah,
there you go. Instant traffic.
Instant traffic. I could do a story on why the new Nintendo console would be better than the PS3, and it would just get on the top bar.
Do it. You should so do it.
I mean, they're transitioning back to the Super Wii HD 2.
Yes.
One of the things, and this is, again, it, you know, goes back to rumors or whatever, but one of the things is the power. We heard it might be stronger than the PS3. We heard it might just be marginally stronger than the 360. Any way you cut it, Nintendo's kind of in an awkward position if they go first because of the fact that they don't really come with third-party support. So if they're too much stronger than the PS3 and the 360, they won't really get ports from 360 and PS3 games now.
Yeah.
But if they're strong enough, you know, if they keep up with the PS3 and 360 as it is now, when PS4 and Xbox 720, I don't know why people call it that, comes out, then you're going to end up in a situation like the Wii, where it's too far behind technology-wise to get down ports.
Yeah.
So it's really an odd position for them. And yeah. I understand why, you know, it's always going to be difficult for Nintendo to get third-party support. Because, I mean, people always say, you know, like, the Wii didn't get it because it wasn't technically as advanced as the 360 and the PS3. Mm-hmm. But you saw even with the N64 and the GameCube, when they had equal tech, they wouldn't get that support because they had the reputation of either being a kiddie system or whatever.
Right.
Go on.
I think something that's interesting to consider about whatever will come after the PS3 and the 360 is that I feel like at this point, that's still a ways off. Like, especially since PS3 and 360 have only just now, within the past year, like, upgraded their hardware with, like, $100 motion controls, each of them have. And Sony has gone on record saying that they want the PS3 to be around for, like, 10 freaking years, and it's only been, like, maybe 5, if even that. So, business-wise, it doesn't even make sense for either of those two companies to release a next console anytime soon. But
business-wise, here's how I see it. I've always thought, and I still think, that Sony should have been the one to start the next generation first because they really lost a lot of market share this generation. I don't care how you shake it up that they're coming back second or whatever, and they started at $600, when the fact is that when you go from selling 125 million units of a console to just scratching 50 million and that time, you lost something along the way. They lost the third-party support as well. And they really haven't made a profit with the PS3 until recently.
The issue with Nintendo now is where they place themselves as well, because with the Wii, they just went for attracting a larger, you know, market share, which they have done. You know, they've sold so many consoles, which I can't remember the figure. It's over 100.
It's 85 million,
okay.
I think.
But they've sold that many consoles now that a Wii is pretty much in everybody's homes. Everybody's got one. Everybody who probably wants one pretty much has one now, even though they're still managing to rake in sales somehow. But the problem with the next console is, do they try to still cater for this large, broad audience, or do they go back to the hardcore?
No, you cater to the largest audience possible. It makes no sense.
Well, yeah, but I mean, with the PS3 and the Xbox 360, though, they're kind of more... They've got the family stuff now with Kinect.
Yeah, they're trying
stuff,
to, too.
But no, they go for that market, but even still, you look at, and this is hard to judge, but you look at stuff at Kinect, and Kinect does well. It sells, you know, 10 million units, and it sells well, but most of the games have sold, I think, you know, at best they've sold a million and a half, and you compare it to something like Wii Sports Resort, which, in you know, has sold 20 million, or Mario Kart Wii. Nintendo, this generation, as much as people might say this and that, really, they didn't, not only did they build a brand with the Wii, but they also built a bunch of new IPs in the Wii series. Mm-hmm. So if they come out with like a Wii Sports 3 or whatever at launch, or a Wii, you know, Wii Play or Mario Kart Wii, or even a new Super Mario Brothers Wii 2, they kind of have those games where people are like, oh, you know, I had fun with this. It was great. And it still has that social aspect. So if they have that, and if they do it well enough where it comes out, you know, not like all that much, but, you know, you get it like every 6 months or so, where like you get bored of Wii Sports, like, oh, you know, Wii Play 2 is coming out. I can pick this up as well. Mm. I think they can kind of retain that audience. Like, people are saying, like, oh, you know, people have their Wiis and they're going to be satisfied, which might be true.
Here's something. Here's something. Sorry to cut you.
Go on.
So Nintendo sold 85 million Wiis, right?
Yeah.
So they don't need to fix anything. If they've sold that many Wiis...
Yeah.
They don't have... Like, see, someone said on Twitter, right, that Nintendo with the Wii 2, Nintendo are fixing the problems that led to 85 million sales. If you've got 85 million sales, there's no problems whatsoever. I mean, yes. I know, okay, the online may be cumbersome or almost non-existent, but the people Nintendo managed to sell 85 million Wiis to, the online is not important.
Right. Mm.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's why I'm saying that they really shouldn't chase after that PS3 and 360 audience, because it's the same debate we've had before with games chasing after Call of Duty, is that you're never gonna catch up and surpass the market either. But Nintendo has this huge market to themselves that if they continue to cater to, it's another thing I always see. It's like people are like, Nintendo needs to try. I'm not going to say Nintendo doesn't need to try new IPs, but they're always like, Nintendo needs to try like a new mature IP. And it makes no sense. Like, they don't want to chase after the Mass Effect crowd or the Call of Duty crowd, because at the end of the day, that's just a wasted game for them when they have this audience that's built in for them, when Mass Effect is great and stuff like that. But New Super Mario Bros. Outsold it by 10 times as much.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong Country Returns outsold Mass Effect and Dragon Age and Medal of Honor and all these other games. So it's like, why are you going to go after an audience that you know, traditionally don't go after?
The only problem that Nintendo really needs to fix is the fact that the Wii has been losing steam, and it has been for a while now. And yeah. the only problem, and there's a direct correlation between the Wii losing steam and the Wii not getting high publicity titles.
Yeah, and that's the one thing, and this is what I said. I don't care what Nintendo puts in the box. I don't care what type of controller it has. At the end of the day, if they don't have third-party support,
right,
it's going to be a repeat of the last 15 years.
This is why. I mean, I know Reggie can say that the surplus of 3DS units in America was deliberate. It was not. The fact is that people know that it has a lackluster library of games at the moment, and people are not buying them because of that.
Yeah.
But you see, the interesting thing with the 3DS launch is that Nintendo tried, and they tried to put the focus on third-party developers. That's the situation they're going to end up in, is that they can put out these, like, that's what happened with the Wii in 2008. They had this huge window. You know, they figured 2 years after the system, we'd have a bunch of third-party games that come out and fill the gap. Because, you know, the beginning of 2008, you had Mario Kart Wii and you had Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had pretty much Animal Crossing and Wario Land. I like Wario Land Shake It, but it's not a high-profile game.
No.
And then you just kind of had this drought where it's like, there's nothing coming out here. And it's like, Nintendo, you have this wide-open gap for third parties to come in and like release these big games that they could sell and kind of build up audience. And it's like, we got nothing.
Yeah, I mean, the launch of 3DS, though, I mean, there have been some good games amongst the launch, but like, it launched at the end of March. We're now 2 or 3 weeks past launch, and there's been no games pretty much. I mean, Combat of Giant Dinosaurs came out.
The only games that are coming out have been churned out by Ubisoft. Where are EA and where are Activision? And
yeah.
And again, that's the problem with even, you know, I understand why you want third-party support, but at the end of the day, it's like, if you give them a window and they don't fulfill it, you're screwed.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like, yes. Because then because the game is always going to fall on Nintendo. Like, why didn't Nintendo pick up the, you know? But then, you know, it's going to be like, why didn't Nintendo fill in the gaps here? Why didn't Nintendo have a more compelling launch lineup? And then it's going to be like, when 5 years later, like, third-party support couldn't get going on the 3DS, and it's like, it's not Nintendo's fault. They gave you a wide window where you had, you can't say that it was a Zelda, that it was a Mario, that it was a Metroid, it was a Pokemon. Well, okay, there was a Pokemon, but there's nothing like stopping you from putting out a stellar game and selling it to that audience.
Mm.
And I think what Nintendo's trying to do with the 3DS, and I could be wrong, but I think they're just going to put key franchise titles throughout the year to bore you. You have Zelda in June, so, you know, like 3 months after you get Zelda.
Star Fox is coming.
Then I assume Star Fox is in like July or August, and then you have like I assume either Mario Kart or Super Mario Brothers 3DS as your big November title for the 3DS. And that's kind of like, okay, you know, holidays come, we have these big Nintendo franchises now, and I expect sales to pick up then.
Yeah.
And then next year, you should see more, you know, and there's also stuff like Resident Evil throughout the lineup. I mean, at the end of the day, it's pretty much Nintendo and Capcom who are going to push the system throughout this year, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is for me, I think Nintendo know what they're doing with it, and one of the things with this new Nintendo console is whether, I'm wondering whether it's going to have some kind of functionality incorporated between the two, which I don't know if it'll work, but that's one thing. But I think in terms of like the first party support, they've spread those out now across the rest of the year over summer when they know that people are going to be picking up handhelds because they're bored and whatever. And then at Christmas, I think they're probably going to release, you know, the red 3DS unit bundled with Mario Kart or something, and then they're going to have a big sales push at Christmas. And I think that's what they're trying to do. They're very keen not to have another Wii situation where it sells out, people can't get one, and all that kind of
and
stuff.
And then there's no games.
But I mean, the thing is as well, on the flip side though, in terms of marketing, if something's sold out, you think if you're a consumer who with the Wii, have been kept hearing about it but didn't know much about it, and it was selling out all that time, you hear more because you can't get hold of one rather than the fact that there's plentiful supply. So I think this 3DS is, I mean, they've had a successful launch. It's not been a bad launch.
No.
They want to sell more than they did, but...
I mean, there are factors, and I'm not going to say the three... I mean, it's been outsold by the PSP in Japan for the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah,
but I think what people kind of... I mean, especially with Japan with their whole, you know, disaster. I mean, they seem to be hit by an earthquake every other week at this point. But the other thing people aren't taking into account, I guess, is the fact that it's March and April. It's not really prime... March is kind of different. March, you know, you have people get their income tax returns and stuff like that, and that's when they decide to make that one big purchase. But really, I assume if the 3DS keeps up and it has a terrible holiday season, that's when I start worrying about it. But I don't, you know, March, April, June, July aren't really strong months for games in general, because, you know, you see like one or two major games each month for this holiday season, then it picks up like August, September, October, November, definitely. So that if they continue going into the holiday season and they don't pick up any steam, that's understandable. But for right now, I'm not worried. I think people are just being armchair analysts, because it's like, oh, it's not doing as well as the DS. The DS didn't sell that well at launch.
No,
because it was new.
Not it wasn't new, but the DS also had a pretty piss poor launch.
It did, yeah. When it first.
I mean,
the Wii 2's launch lineup will be interesting.
The Wii 2, I mean, it really depends, because at this point, the Wii, it's like they're making.
Are we
going to
have like
Wii,
another?
So.
Are we going to have like another Nintendo 64 remake? Because that seems to be all Nintendo are doing for the 3DS right now.
Well, you see, that's the thing, and again, I don't think that's true. We had two N64 remakes. We have Star Fox.
Yeah, but right now, it seems that, I mean, the 3DS is going to be is a console you buy if you want to play old games, because you've got the two Nintendo 64 games, and effectively now, remakes are the new shovelware, right? And I don't want Nintendo to come out with the Wii 2 and say, hey, you can play this old game that you haven't played in a long time, just you need to buy this $200 system to play time.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but at the same hand, it's kind of odd to say that when, you know, Nintendo launched with a new IP and still died for, good or bad, they did have a new IP at launch, and they had Pilot Wings, which they hadn't had since the N64. Nintendogs and cats or whatever. But, you know, it's kind of, I understand your point there. I don't think they're going to launch it with that. If anything, I'm crossing my fingers, because it would be 3 years since New Super Mario Bros. Wii came out, that they have New Super Mario Bros. Wii 2 as a launch title, and I think that would really help them, because they haven't done Mario a launch since the DS.
Yeah. And even then, it was a Nintendo 64 remake.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, they haven't done a proper Mario since 64 then.
Yeah.
And that's been 15 years now, so we shall see. But at the same hand, they've also had more success without Mario on, so who knows?
It's interesting though, because like Ocarina of Time 3D is pretty much the one game that everyone was just waiting
everyone
for.
Everyone wants, yeah.
I mean, all the people on, I mean, I've followed quite a lot of people on Twitter. But the one thing that I see Nintendo-wise that people are saying is, oh, I can't wait for Zelda to come out on the 3DS. And I'm like,
you see,
It's already on the Wii. Go get it there.
The thing I don't get, and I find it funny, is like people complain about Twilight Princess and Wind Waker just being Ocarina of Time again, and then you want an Ocarina of
Time again.
Literally again.
Oh yeah.
It's like, okay, yes, it might use the same system as Ocarina of Time, but it's a new game. Now you actually just want the same game over again.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't most of the time.
Yeah. Especially for Nintendo.
Yeah, it's like the same reason I joked on Twitter, like, you know, if the Super Wii HD 2 remake has backwards compatibility, it's a waste of time, because apparently Wii has no games according to everybody else, so.
Yeah. I mean, for me though, I would sell my Wii, and then, but the thing is, if it doesn't play GameCube games, I've still got a GameCube, so.
Yeah, I was about to say, I would, because I still have my GameCube. It's easier, it's more convenient, I don't have to have it hooked up, but I still kind of like to have the original system.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of, the thing is, and I guess we can go back to some of these rumors, like the controller, for example, we've heard, okay, I don't know what the hell the controller is. It sounds like it has
dual and nobody does. It's got like cameras and touch screens and it's tablet and it's this and it's that.
There's only one thing that I can think of in regards to like it having a screen, it having this, having that, and
it's got buttons on it.
I wonder whether it could be some kind of visual thing, because like the Virtual Boy had all that stuff on it, and there's been NeoGAF have been chatting about this as well, that they think it could have some kind of visual thing rather than like, you know, like an iPhone or something with that kind of touch functionality. But
yeah, I mean, I assume it's gonna end up being like the Dreamcast VMU in a way.
Probably.
Yeah, but that failed.
Was so cool. That was cool.
I thought it was awesome. I just thought that the battery sucked. Yeah. And that's my two concerns with this controller as it stands right now is battery life, because it seems to do everything a cell phone would do and those things can't last anymore.
Yeah.
And the price, because I mean, I don't know how much a touchscreen goes for, but a touchscreen, you have like built-in motion, you have a camera, you have facial recognition, you have it streams in HD apparently, it streams content from the system, and I'm just like, yeah, I can't see this being less than like $100 for a controller.
Yeah,
and nobody's gonna do that.
Well, controllers are already expensive as they are.
Yeah, I mean,
granted, people used to joke that it's like $80 to get a full Wii controller. Which used to be the case. I think now it's only 50 or something like that.
Yeah. They're about 25 quid for a remote and then, well, they used to be 30 quid and then 15 quid for a nunchuck.
Yeah, but then you'd also have, like, you know, if you want a Wii Motion Plus or whatever. But again, you could have got that with mini games and now they have the Wii Motion Plus. Remote Plus.
Yeah. Wii Remote Plus.
All five games that support it.
Yeah. You know, it might be five games, but so far of the two I've played, I've really enjoyed them, so I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is as well, though, like, direct comparison is Sony with the PlayStation Move, because they've got a load of games that I've got friends who are Sony kind of through and through fanboys. Not fanboys, but people that it's their console of preference, and they bought Move, and they're like, well, there's no games for it. I'm like, well, it's alright, I'll carry on playing my Wii, and then you can, like, just waggle at the screen with no game, and I'll carry on playing.
So, well, don't you know, it supports other hardcore games. Killzone has support, and SOCOM has support, and PlayStation Move Heroes.
Because that's the first thing that I wanted to do, is play a first-person shooter with motion controls.
I honestly still, to this day, believe that motion is much better for shooters than dual analog.
I actually agree myself.
It gives you better, we've had this discussion before, Daniel. And
if you shake your hands, though, which a lot of people do.
It's not even
hold a Wii remote straight.
Guys, if it's a really good first-person shooter, or even if it's not a good first-person shooter, but it has good controls like The Conduit, that shouldn't be an issue. Like, if it's the launch title stuff, like Red Steel,
that was awful. I erased that from my mind.
Yeah, it's a learning experience. Yeah, but if you compare Red Steel to Red Steel 2...
Red Steel 2 is amazing. I'm playing that right now, literally right now. Yeah. Well, not right.
Yeah, you can tell the difference between, like, you know, actually just having a launch system and actually knowing the system well enough to handle a first-person shoot. And at the end of the day, is that the reason I think dual analog works so much is that of how much aim assist you get. Hmm. If you were to remove aim assist from a dual analog game, you'd realize how antiquated it is compared to a Wiimote or Move.
Yeah.
And, mouse and keyboard. So I think that's kind of... And it's also the thing that people don't want to learn something new if it's already good enough for them. It's like, I can do this with dual analog. Why should I try something new?
Right, yeah. A lot of people are definitely resistant to that. I mean, I've played, Metroid Prime 3. And now, like, yeah. I can't, like, I tried going back and playing the original Metroid Prime on GameCube after that, and I just couldn't do it. Like, I refused to do it because I didn't like the controls anymore. Like, I got spoiled by Metroid Prime 3's controls, so if I replay Metroid Prime, it would be through the collection.
Metroid Prime, yeah, trilogy. And yeah, and that's the case. And I feel like this is going to be a step backwards next generation if they go back to dual analog sticks with some type of built-in motions, kind of like the 6-axis, because you're going to end up in a situation like GoldenEye Wii, which I love the game, but at the end of the day, it kind of didn't really push motion because it also wanted to use the classic controller.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you can't have your foot in both graves.
Mm, I mean,
and that's kind of what you see with Move, is that people are like, oh yeah, we'll throw in Move support, but we'll still do controller. Which limits what you can do with a game, I feel.
I mean, the thing for me is, I mean, I know how people criticize Nintendo consoles for the first-party games being, you know, that's what people buy, third-party that people don't care about, but Nintendo actually really know how to utilize their hardware best. Because, I mean, with the DS, all the games that, you know, they play on there are kind of innovative and interesting to me. Like, I'm still, like, finding old games that I'm playing through that I really like far more than anything that I would have ever played on the PSP. And I'm not really an iPhone person, iPod Touch, because I just don't like the games. But that's just me. I know that millions of people do like them, but...
Hang on. Here's a rumor regarding the controller, right? So apparently, right, and this is what this article says here, the Wii HD will have a HD controller, whatever that means.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. The screen would be HD, and I'm like, at that point, it's 6 inches. Who cares?
Yeah. It's more the hardware, though. I mean, for me, it's more where Nintendo positions itself, because they need to have a big enough technical leap in the standard of the console to then last beyond the next PS3 and Xbox.
But so. You see, again, it's like, okay... At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. As we saw this generation and we've seen before, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day how your technology works. It really, really depends on the games. Because, say what you will, but, you know, people will say it's just Wii Sports, but Nintendo still had more games that sell better over this generation than either the competition. I mean, if you look at the best-selling first-party title on Xbox is Halo 3, and that sold about, you know, 10 million. And you get that's like average, like Smash Brothers Brawl sold that much. And, I mean, that would be one of Nintendo's top-tier franchises, but at the end of the day, in the Wii generation, it's one of their middle-sized franchises.
Yeah.
The same thing with Super Mario Galaxy 1. So, you know, at the end of the day, Nintendo has that kind of... And this is why I don't get why people are like, you know, Nintendo's kiddie, casual, whatever. I never got the problem, and I still don't get the problem with... catering your games to the biggest possible market instead of going for an 18 to 25 demographic of all male gamers, because you kind of just end up eating the same lunch over and over again, and people do kind of get tired of that.
Yeah. Well, that market is just specifically more narrow anyway. So, I mean, 18 to 20-somethings are still going to play a Mario game if it's good, but not all eight, you know, like people who are younger than that, people in their teens, might not necessarily play a God of War game. So, I mean... I get where a lot of people are coming from, where they don't like feeling like a game is like being demeaning to them, because admittedly, a lot of games on the Wii can be very like bashing you over the head with tutorials in a sense. And
Epic Mickey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was one of my problems with that game. I just couldn't play through it because I just felt like it was taking too long for the game to let me do whatever I wanted. Things like
that. It doesn't ever change. Like literally every time you go to a new area, it shows you everything you need to do.
That's
too
bad.
At some point, I'm smart enough to realize that I have to go here and gotta go there. Don't have to show me every time I come to an area.
Yeah. Now, on the other hand, a lot of the audience that game was going for probably actually appreciated that aspect, because the fact of the matter is that most people that don't play video games all the time, like I imagine all of us four do, like they can easily get lost in games like that. Like I've seen people try to play Twilight Princess, just the opening village scene, and they like can't get through it because they don't. Like, their brain hasn't been programmed over the past 20 years to know how game mechanics like that work, and so I need to help them out, and, yeah.
And I think that's something that's a disconnect between us and what people call the casual mass market gamers sometimes, is that, and, you know, people. I hate when people say, you know, they're dumbing down a game, but at the end of the day, they're just making it more accessible,
right.
Which I understand might hurt you, but at the same hand, it really sucks when you get a controller and it's like 50 buttons and like each button does something different and then you have to press a certain combination of buttons to do something else, and it's just like, that takes some training to do, and people kind of assume that everybody has this inbuilt knowledge, and
right,
if they don't, they shouldn't be playing video games. And that's when you end up kind of shrinking your market share, because you don't end up appealing to so many people, except for the people you already sell to, and it's like, why do you, you know, I don't get why people are so concerned with what other people play if it doesn't affect them.
Right.
It's a thing. Yeah, this one article on PC World is saying, is basically assuming that because it's got HD visuals, the Wii 2 will be Nintendo's attempt to, quote, recapture the hardcore market. Just how, I don't understand how that makes any sense, because Nintendo's franchises aren't, they never have been hardcore franchises per se.
I think, well, you see, you'll get different answers. Like, people say Metroid is and Zelda is and stuff like that.
But they're not really. Zelda.
You see, and this is,
they used
this
to
is
be,
why,
but.
This is why I don't, this is why I don't get into the hardcore casual stuff, because I think it's a stupid differential.
Yeah.
I think there are games that cater to certain type of gamers, but that's true of anything. Like, fighting games, I think, cater to a certain type of people because of how you have to memorize moves and counters and combos and stuff like that.
But Nintendo's games have always been accessible. And they kind of, they make a point out of it.
Yeah, but you see, I don't, you see,
I mean, again, if you take the simplicity of just the interface on, the Wii or the 3DS, you can tell it's just designed to be accessible, and that's the way Nintendo's always been. They haven't always been as graceful about it as they have been in recent years.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, the thing is, I don't think people, and again, it depends, I don't think people see hardcore and casual so much in terms of accessibility. As some people see it as accessibility, some people see it as a market, some people see it as type of controls and inputs. And this is why it's kind of hard to nail down the definitions, because everybody sees
it
differently.
The worst thing is the link between HD visuals and
hardcore gamers.
Because
oh, yeah.
If someone says, my mum will come and watch me play Crysis 2, and she's like, that game looks really good. I'm like, yeah, it does, actually. You know, just because my mum doesn't play Crysis 2, it doesn't mean that she can't recognize how good it looks. You know?
You see, but again, this is news filtered through gamers and gamers' perspective. And I said this during Twitter during the week as well. It's like, it's so easy to get back to hardcore gamers. All you have to do is output an HD and pretty graphics.
I mean,
shiny stuff sells to them.
Admittedly, hardcore gamers do care about that a lot. And I will go and play an old game and go, oh, this looks like crap. But, you know, it's not important. I would, you know, if someone was to hand me a Wiimote and say, here, I'm playing Super Mario Galaxy, do you want to play? I'll go, yeah, because I like the game, because it's fun.
Yeah, but you see, that's just what I'm saying. It's like, people are like, and this, a lot of people reacted this way. It's like, oh, it's an HD. I can finally play Nintendo games again. I'm like, really, that's all it took? It wasn't because the games were bad or anything. It was because they weren't in HD, and that's why you skipped out a generation of games. And I'm just like, you know, at the end of the day, and I've had this discussion with people before, and I've never got it. It's like, do you just stop playing games from prior generations at that point? Like, the 360 comes out, I never touch my PS2 again. I never go back to the PlayStation or the Super Nintendo or the NES or anything like that, because I can no longer play those type of games. It makes me sick.
Mm. I just wonder though, because, like, you know, the thing with the PS3 and Xbox 360 is that they have, you know, those multi-platform games that are just on those consoles, and that's the reason that people play those consoles. The reason that people kind of disregard the Wii is because they're like, well, I want to play Mass Effect, but I can't play it on a Nintendo console.
You see, and that I get, I can understand that there isn't an abundance. Like, you know, you can't, if Assassin's Creed, your Mass Effect, even your Call of Duty, even if...
The only difference that is, right, is because, I think it's because, there is Call of Duty on Nintendo's consoles.
Yeah.
On the Wii. But it's not, what they try and go for is all the action and all the explosions and all the things happening in the background, which obviously, because
good.
The Wii, and because the Wii isn't, obviously isn't as powerful as the 360 or the PS3 or any PC, it can't do. That's the only thing, is if the Wii was powerful enough, it would have the Mass Effect, because that's what they're trying to go for, is all the stuff happening in the background,
which requires the power. Yeah.
And on the same hand, you see, it was always an odd generation, because I kind of understand that, like, graphically, like, you don't want downports all the time, but at the same hand, like, nobody wanted, like, Dead Space Extraction or Castlevania Judgment or Soul Calibur Legends. Like, you don't take Soul Calibur, a fighting game, and you make it into an action beat 'em up. You don't take Castlevania, an action adventure platformer, and turn it into a fighting game. And
I
then
think
you
the
say
thing
you,
with the thing with Dead Space Extraction specifically is they created the franchise on the 360 and PlayStation 3, and they pandered to the people that played those games mainly, which at that point was before the motion controls and before they became a lot more accessible to know, your mum or your dad. So all of a sudden they're saying, oh, there's a new Dead Space game, but it's on the Wii, which a lot of these people didn't have. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people were excited about that, and then
I know someone who's like, oh, I have a Wii, you know, I play Dead Space, I love it, and I have a Wii anyway, so I'm just going to go out and buy it. There was people like that, but I think the majority of the people, like me and a load of other people I know, they missed out on it because the Wii's not the sort of thing that they go for.
Well, it's not even so much that. It's so much that it's a third-person shooter on the 360 and the PS3, and it's a real shooter on the Wii, and it's just like you end up with it. And this, I don't want any test games. I don't want any ports. I don't want any, like, you know, we'll see if this can sell. We'll cater this to this and that. Or just make games. At the end of the day, I think that's what makes you most successful, is if you make a game, not because you want to cater to the quote-unquote Wii audience, or you want to, you want to test it audience and see if they buy this type of games. Make a game. Like, we had the
test. Valve does that.
Huh?
Valve does that. They just make game. And if it does well, they make more of it. Like Portal. Portal's the perfect example. They hired a bunch of people. They made this little test game. They made it with its own little style and everything. They found a way to sell it, which was in the orange box, which people couldn't say no to. And then people lapped it up.
Yeah, and then you get a sequel, and that's what Nintendo does. I'm sure they go through market testing and stuff like that. But I've never seen Nintendo say we're just making a game for hardcore gamers or whatever. They're making games that they think it's going to be fun.
Sure if you went to Valve back in 2004, 2005, when they just released Half-Life 2, and said you are going to make a puzzle game that everybody is going to love. You know, they would say, they're just turning around and go, no, go away.
You know, I would think the people involved would be like, you know what, that sounds like a good idea, actually.
You know,
see if it was Activision, like, how can we make this into a Call of Duty?
They've got a game, they've got Dota 2 coming out later this year, which is another different game for Valve, because it's a strategy game. And so I think, you know, the whole idea of just making games that you want to make and not giving a stuff about, because this is the way Mojang is going about their new game. It's the way that Bungie goes about their games. You know, okay, Bungie have only really done first-person shooters as of late, but they just make games that they want to make.
Yeah, and that's what works. You don't want to make a game that's derivative of something. Hey, I've had this discussion with you before where, people are like, we want new IPs. And I'm all for new IPs, but it defeats the purpose if the new IP is just a Call of Duty clone with a new name on it, because it's still just the same old game.
Yeah, that's a good thing about the Wii 2. Like, the guy at Ubisoft said that It's gonna introduce more IPs because there's gonna be no IP launch title, and there's gonna be people that like it regardless of what it is.
Yeah, what happened with Red Steel 2? I mean, Red Steel, the first one was a million seller, even though it's a crappy game.
That's the thing I liked Red Steel for what it could have been and not what it was.
You see,
The idea was really good. It just wasn't executed too well.
I was disappointed that it took so long for any type of.
I mean, and sword fights. Who doesn't want guns and sword fights?
Yeah, I was about to say, it took way too long for anybody to capitalize on the first-person market on the Wii that it never really took off. And, you know, there was a ton of games I thought that had potential. Red Steel was one, but for me, one of the biggest games before The Conduit came out was Medal of Honor Heroes 2, and I felt that it did such creative and smart things with motion controls that nobody else has marked. You know, like, EA was actually pretty good at early on with, like, Medal of Honor and Godfather, and I've written articles about this, and these are usually the two biggest games I use as far as third-party motion support goes, and it not taking off well, is that, like, you don't, like, what I think what people always misunderstand is, like, you need motion, and it has to dominate the game. Where if you use it in a smart and sensible way where it enhances your experience, works for me.
This is going to be weird because, like, with all these things about how the new Wii 2 controller is going to have a touchscreen and how it's going to do this and how it's going to do that and it's going to have the kitchen sink and a toaster in it, you know, I can just see games just abusing it all over again and just not using the features of it very well. So it's why I don't see any of that actually happening. I think Nintendo are going to go something simple. Maybe they'll just have a more accurate version of the Wii Remote.
Which I thought would have been smart, because the other thing, and this is a minor thing, but this is for me anyhow, is that if they go back to this dual analog screen setup, is that I really like the split controllers. I enjoyed having my hands not have to be right next to each other.
That's one thing that I kind of liked is, like, there are some games that just use the the buttons on the Wiimote. So all you have in your hand is the Wiimote. And if the game suddenly says, oh, like WarioWare Smooth Moves says, oh, you need the nunchuck now. I'm going to pause it so you can go get your nunchuck. So you go and plug your nunchuck in, and now you're using the nunchuck how you should be. And then when you don't need to use the nunchuck anymore, you just take it out, put it to one side, and start using it with the Wiimote again.
Yeah, and that was one of the things I really loved about the controller, and I'm going to be disappointed if they do away with that next generation.
Well, there's only a couple of things that I really want from a new like a Nintendo console, and I want it to be on a level playing field with the other consoles so that it gets those multi-platform games, because then I just buy them on a Nintendo console then. I want it to go back to a traditional controller input, but like the 360 and PS3 controllers have that traditional kind of controller, but also, because the rumor is that it's going to support all the Wii peripherals. So I want it to have, like the Move is doing for the PS3, have the option of having both. So you could either have the motion controls and you can also have the traditional again. So there's that. And then obviously just all the normal stuff. I just want better online. So because the thing is, like, the virtual console was such a great idea. I was like, oh my God, I can play all the old games again. And then they didn't put any on there. There's like all the SNES games are there. All the really old school games are there, which is cool. But the N64 games just aren't, there's like, is it 12 or 15 of them or something?
There's
like none.
Not much of that. I think the virtual console, go on.
That's the thing is, other than updating it so it can support HD games, it's the Wii 2 will just be an incremental upgrade.
Yeah, but the thing is, like,
them making improvements to things that they always, people have been saying they need to do in the first place.
But at the end of the day, I think that's what gamers want. Because at the end of the day, when you see rumors like the 360, 2, or the PS4, it's usually just better graphics, you know. Like better.
Yeah, but the thing is, you see,
what else do they ask for?
I don't think there's going to be that much, like, you know, the next PS4 and Xbox 720. I don't think there's really that much more they can do. There'll be more kind of power behind it, but I can't see it going much further than what we're seeing at the moment.
This generation was all about playing online and what developers have managed to do online, so DLC and you know, patching their games and do online co-op and having your own level creators and sharing them with other people and all this stuff. Is like, that's been the major sort of thing about this generation, whereas now we've got all the connectivity, now we've got the visuals to it, what else can they do?
Yeah, I think
we've got the motion controls.
Yeah, I think we're in an evolutionary transitional period. Like, you know, from the NES to the Super Nintendo was more about, you know, like, they had better graphics and stuff, but it was more about an evolution. And then you had the revolution with the Nintendo 64 PlayStation embracing 3D and stuff like that. Then you kind of had that transitional period with the GameCube, PS2, and Xbox, which was just basically the same system, better graphics and stuff like that. Then you kind of had this big movement with online and motion this generation, and I think next generation is going to be better graphics, but just a refinement of those technologies and actually marrying them. Because as it stands right now, it's like you have great online on the 360, you have so-so motion, you have great motion on the Wii, so-so online, and then you have PlayStation, who's so-so everything.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing for me though, like, I mean, a lot of developers have been calling for like having one platform and then everything just being one platform, making it easy. But one thing I would love to see is, like, interactivity between all the consoles. You know, if I want, like, Portal 2 is going to do this with PS3 and PC. You can have a PS3 copy and play somebody on PC. But if I had, you know, say I wanted to get this next Wii console, a Nintendo console, sorry. Might not be the Wii. If I wanted to get
Super
the next...
Wii HD2.
Oh, I know, it's such a mouthful.
That's what she said.
Oh God! You know, if I wanted to get the next Nintendo console and have that as my one console, then I don't have to worry about the other consoles unless I want to play their exclusive games. I mean, at the moment, you see, the thing is, I think, well, should I get this game on this console to play with these people, or should I get it on this console to play with those people? Or there's all this kind of
the only problem is it would require it's not that, it's the fact that the advantage that Valve has with Portal 2 being on, like connected between the PC and the PS3 is nobody runs a PC platform. Valve has their own thing, and
Steamworks.
EA have their own thing, and Microsoft have their own thing, and no one guy rules the roost. So Sony can say, oh yeah, we'll partner with Valve, so we can have Steamworks interaction between supported games. And whereas if they were to do Wii to Xbox 3 to PS4, they would have to the rivals would actually have to agree on something, which would never happen.
And not even so much that my biggest thing is that each of them kind of always brings something new to the table. Like, yeah. If you had one console, like, would Nintendo have embraced motion as much? Would Microsoft have embraced online as much? Because, you know, like, at the end of the day, they all...
If you've also got to think about how the games are played. So let's take an example study that Microsoft did where they were playing, they had one game, I think it was Shadowrun, I think it was, and they had people on 360 playing with people on PC, and they found that the people on PC were absolutely destroying the people on 360 because of, you know, because the control scheme that they have more accuracy with the mouse. So you've got to take into account the fact that Nintendo is only mainly motion controls again with the Wii 2, and they have it interfacing with the 360 and the PS3. The people with the motion controls may destroy those using dual analog sticks, or vice versa.
It's just been a long term.
It would be nice, but I think it's not just it's a pipe dream, if nothing else.
Yeah.
If anything, I could see maybe two of the companies merging together at some point. I can see maybe Nintendo and Microsoft working together where because Microsoft kind of...
Yeah, but if that happens, somebody else will enter the game. Sega dropped out last generation, and then Microsoft came in instead of it.
Yeah, but I don't think... it's possible. I just don't see anybody who has that type of market, I guess. Oh, fair enough. Okay.
There have been rumors of an Apple... people were talking about an Apple console, and I know I don't think it's going to happen. But the thing is if the two of the three companies we have now were to merge, I think Apple would step in.
Yeah, but the thing is, the thing with me, I mean, I've got nothing against Apple, but I just find their pricing structure so ridiculously bad. I mean, they're pivot behind
this
kind of
like... We would have to change that if they were to enter the console market, admittedly. But I think if one was to drop out of the race and merge another company or something, there's a gap there because there has always been three major players, really.
Well, not really, for the early
generations.
And, yeah, just to say, because for the first two, it's really Sega and Nintendo. But yeah, I mean, the thing with Apple is that if they do go online and they change their system, like, it defeats the purpose because the point of the App Store and everything else is to, you know, you can buy a game for a buck or
$3. Yeah, but you can do that on the 360.
Yeah. Well, my point is would people care if these apps start to be $20, $30, $40, $50?
No, because Apple does have a rabid, which is one way to describe it, fan base. Which would probably they would probably
Lap
do it,
up.
I could see that, but on the
and
same
there,
hand,
if it creates and if it has if it fills a niche, which is there in the because we don't know what's going to happen in if it fills a niche that it is created, then people will buy it.
Again, I guess it could be it's different for me too. I don't know Apple like if they make games in general. I don't know if they put anything on. Yeah, because at least when Microsoft came in, they were making games for the PC and stuff. They might not have been super.
Well, and they had their hand in the Dreamcast, I suppose. Yeah. I still think had they not had a hand in the Dreamcast or made PC games, they may have done it anyway.
And they might have, but
they wouldn't have been as successful as they would if they have been so far. But I think they would have done it.
I don't know. The thing is that the competition between the companies is the biggest thing that pushes each of them in different directions. But I mean, the thing is with the Wii, I mean, when that E3 conference happened where Sony were like, oh yeah, we're going to do like the PlayStation Move. And I was like, oh wow, you just brought out the Wii remote. You know, I mean, yeah, the tech
Who
was better inside
think that.
It. I know, it's just like, I just felt that is so cheap.
At least, Microsoft kind of, although it would appear some people could argue it is just an iToy, at least it does have a marginal improvement over it.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same hand, I guess, would you complain if Nintendo, if they had like an Xbox Live system next generation, would people say they're copying Microsoft at that point? Or
no, they would just say that they're catching up.
Yeah, that's like the natural progression of what you would expect from a... I mean, I understand why. It's kind of like, you know, because Sony introduced this mid-generation instead of waiting until next generation. And it's kind of the same thing with the DualShock. But yeah, I think there are things that are a natural progression of the industry that will become the industry standard. I mean, it doesn't seem like motion display control is going to become the standard, but I think motion controlling will be here going forward.
Yeah.
Just like I think some type of online system, even if it's bare minimum as much as PSN, even then, the 3DS kind of has that going for it, where it has like a buddy system and you can see what your friends are doing and stuff like that.
I think it needs a patch, though, to improve it. I think what they've got there is something that makes me feel hopeful about the next Nintendo console, but it's not perfect.
I have to admit, why do you have a friends list if you can't talk to your friends?
Yeah.
Well, you can't talk to them.
You can't just message them.
Oh, well, that's something I assume they're going to work on, because you can message them on the Wii.
But who actually uses the message system on the Wii?
Yeah, I don't, because you can't see when people are online. It's like, well, why would I send someone a message if I know they're not going to read it for like...
Well, I used to send messages because I used to like seeing the blue girl on my system. yeah,
that's why I played Super Mario Galaxy, so that Luigi could send me a message saying, "Oh my god, I'm here!" And I'm like, "Yeah, you've seen my console blue."
I mean, even on PSN, when I can see who's online and when, like, I still usually don't like. I'll send them invites, but it's very rare that I'll actually send them a message. It just seems like an impractical means to do so. But that's,
the main thing is because now we can just, you know, with the 360, you can just press record.
Yeah,
that's what I did.
Yeah.
I hardly ever use the actual tech. That takes too long. I'm like, you know what, I'll invite you or whatever. But if it's on the 360, like, yeah, okay, you want to play this game, so-and-so, send me back a message. 15 seconds, you're good to go. You set something up. Or even what's more practical is you start a party.
Yeah.
And you just like, I'm playing Gears of War. Do you want to come join me? Like, sure. Yeah, we're done. Saved out of trouble, and we're already talking. We're in the game.
But also, the good thing that Microsoft did as well, though, was right from the bat, you could go on Xbox.com, type out a message, and send it. So you don't have to stop really what you're playing, because if you're a good enough typer or a competent typer, you can type it out in like 2 minutes, send it, carry on what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I think the problem with the Sony is, I mean, they brought out a little wireless keypad, and you can plug in a keyboard via USB if you want to, but it slows down everything so much when you like, because the XMB is still sluggish. And they haven't introduced voice chat. I mean, there've been all kinds of crappy rumors about why they haven't done it yet, but it seems really stupid.
Like cross-game voice chat?
You know why they haven't do that? Because they're idiots.
Yeah, but people are saying that Microsoft have like trademarked it or some shit, and I was like, what?
No, that's crap.
I know.
How does that even make sense?
Oh, yeah, them for G.
That would mean we can't even use Skype, because technically this would be a party system right now.
True. Well, yeah, but I don't see why. I mean, Sony. The one thing was that, someone said that Sony having problems because some games messed up when they tried to do it or something.
That happens with a lot of things Sony does.
I know, precisely. So it's just like, well, I mean, to me, that's the one thing holding the PS3 back.
Well, there's several things holding the PS2.
Well, yeah, but
and I think some of the things.
It's
that,
one of the major things, because I have to admit, right? If the PS3 had party chat and voice messages, then they would only leave one reason for me to keep my 360, and that would be my friends.
I was gonna say the other thing, and this is the major thing I think, is that the mic isn't standard. So I mean, with 360, it's kind of uncommon.
That's a good thing, if you ask me.
It might be personal preferences aside.
Because
but
that means, because the only reason why people complain about kids and racists and bigots and all these people on Xbox Live is because you get a microphone with a console as standard.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what the party system for. But what I mean is, at the end of the day, it's weird not to hear somebody with a microphone on the 360. Where I've played Uncharted, I've played SOCOM Beta, I've played MAG and stuff like that.
There's nobody speaking.
Yeah, you'll find like two or three people speaking, and it's always like, "Hey, can anybody hear me?"
Yeah.
And it's like, nobody responds, and then they stop talking.
The only time I ever, would like the 3 week period that I owned a PS3, the only time I spoke to anyone online was when I was playing Red Dead Redemption Hunting Bears with friends. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, for me, it's quite a cold environment playing online on a PS3, because, you know, I mean, it, I play it regularly, and I don't really play multiplayer much because I'm more of a single-player person, but I've been waiting for... I mean, for me, on the Wii, you know, I just wanted to play Smash Bros. Online, Mario Kart. You know, I want to do all that, and then you try and play it, and it's like, oh, my God, this is a nightmare.
Well, Mario Kart works. Mario Kart works.
Having no voice chat is, to be honest, at least of the problems in Super Smash Bros. Online.
And you know that E3 when Animal Crossing got announced, and they're like, and here's We Speak, and I was like, yay!
And then they were like, it's for the whole room, and like, it's like, oh, Nintendo.
You put it on top of your TV, and I was like, what?
I actually like the concept behind We Speak, because it does actually work decently, unless I do own it. Because it does cancel out most of the noise. The only thing is, it's kind of weird to be shouting at your TV.
Yeah, but the problem is when you're playing online with people, you just, it's one-to-one, and it's not the whole room.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I mean, how many people are usually in the room when you're playing video games as it is?
Never.
So, I mean, it's not...
But the problem is I don't... I know, it just
doesn't
feel...
You don't want everybody else there
in it. In the case that there is people in the room, it's not... Because does it play the sound from them out from the TV?
Well, it has to, because there's
Well, then, exactly. That's the point.
Right, that and, yeah, but there's people who do that on the Xbox anyhow.
Well, then, yeah, Kinect's got the same room thing, hasn't it?
Yeah, the thing is with Kinect is it was designed for someone who's standing in front of it, whereas the Wii, you can sit down and you can... When you're playing Animal Crossing, you're hardly dancing or whatever. Really?
How do you know how I play my Animal Crossing?
If you do that while playing Animal Crossing, I severely am worried for you.
Maybe I listen to KKK, KK's right song.
Oh my gosh. I was like, whoa. That was a slip of the tongue. We'll have to edit that one out.
Yes, so, I mean, apparently just sick of the whole podcast. I wasn't expecting it to go this far, but any final thoughts on the Super Wii HD 2 Mega Platinum Edition rumors?
It would just be catch-up.
Well, I don't think it's going to be, again, it's...
That's what I think. I think that nine out of 10 things that I'll have to announce for it will just be catching up.
I think this is what we're getting, because at the end of the day, it's easier to... reveal specs and stuff like that, because that's kind of what gamers are used to. You can understand what an AMD graphic card means for the system or processor and this and that. But at the end of the day, I think I'm more curious as to what Nintendo brings to the table that's different, because
they're Nintendo.
I mean, it might not always work like the GameCube controller or, you know, like the Wii Speak or something, but I expect something out there for their controller. I kind of expect the vitality sensor to be built into the controller in some fashion.
Oh, can we just forget about that, please?
Nintendo seems to have, so you
Nintendo, I implore you, just if you ever consider going back to that vitality sensor, stop it. Fire whoever suggests it and just leave it.
I personally think it has a ton of potential, especially if it's built into the controller. But not even for fitness games. If it's done well, and I can see it working for like horror games and stuff like that, where like there are people, and I'm sure it happens with you folks, when you play video games, there's certain segments that are tense or exciting.
But I don't need... Right, this is the thing, is when I'm tense in a video game, I don't need the game to tell me this.
No, I'm not saying the game's going to tell you this, but there are...
What else would the vitality sensor be used for, though? It could change elements in the gameplay, but I just find that to be... like, rather gimmicky.
Yeah, but Mike,
the last thing I want is to be strapped to my controller.
Yeah, but let's see.
I don't mean strapped to your controller. I mean like exercise bikes where you just kind of keep your hands and it reads you like how your pulse is going.
Yeah, but again, that's just fitness games. So
no, but I'm not saying it's a fitness game. I'm saying that.
Yeah, but what else would you use an exercise bike?
No, I'm not saying
I'm saying
the technology like that, where, you know, instead of like how the vitality sensor when it was first revealed was like something you put your finger into, which eliminated one hand. What I'm thinking is like it's built into the controller where you hold it and as you're holding the controller, it reads your pulse.
But the only thing that I could see that kind of working in would be something like Left 4 Dead, because you know, like Left 4 Dead, if you get away from the other three people, the AI thinks, let's go and send some zombies out on them.
Yeah,
if you panic in a game, or you know, you're you get excited or you're enjoying it or whatever. But the thing is with the Nintendo, like, if they've got games with motion control, you're going to be elevating your heart rate anyway because you'll be, you know, you're moving around.
But but it doesn't always have to be used in concert. It could be used, like, imagine like a Silent Hill game where, like, depending on how tense you are, like, maybe they hold up on showing an enemy or something like that. And, you know, like, you know, they learn how you get scared and they repeat those segments more often. I'm not saying it's something that can work, but I'm saying it has potential if they put it in them. Because at the end of the day, people thought touchscreen was gimmicky. Look how well that worked out for some games.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't need touchscreen on any of my games. It's only going to make playing Pokemon so much better. I don't need two screens.
But at the end of the day, like I said, you know, 95% of the games could be gimmicky for it. But
3D does nothing for the gameplay.
You get that 5% that works, and that's something different. I mean, it's the same thing with, like, there's a ton of games on the Wii that the motions kind of suck and derivative.
Yeah.
But there's games like Wii Sports and Wii Sports Resorts where you have motion, and it works, and it makes it a special game. And I think if any company, Nintendo can be a company that finds some type of avenue to use the vitality sensor beyond the fitness game.
Yeah, but for me, see, the vitality sensor announcement at E3 was one of the most kind of bemusing moments. Because, like, well, why are you telling us about this when there's kind of like nothing to say? They haven't got anything to demonstrate it or anything.
I think they were kind of expecting people to get excited, like how people got excited when they sort of Wii Fit Balance Board.
And how people got excited when they saw the Virtual Boy.
You know, Virtual Boy doesn't count. There was no E3 at that time. But yes, I think that should do it for our apparently dedicated to Super Wii HD 2 Platinum Mega Edition Transformer Rollout and Transform.
If it transforms, that'd be amazing. I'd buy one.
Yeah. That was actually one of the earlier rumors.
Laser beams.
Oh no, that rumor was in Endgamer magazine, which we have over here, and they literally in the article. Should I find, where's the magazine? Is this Project Butterfly rumor thing?
Yeah.
Right. They'd openly wrote on the page 7. It was one. They wrote, our rumour, we're sick of writing about other people's bogus stories, so we're going to spread a rumour of our own, and feel free to forward it to news sites and forums. How far can this bad boy go? So then they said about it being Project Butterfly, success of the Wii, no specs, but the hardware is designed to be physically upgraded over time. So they completely made it up, and then all the American sites just got on top of it, and I was like,
no. I've never seen that.
Shame on you.
And it happens, and this is why I always say it's easier to.
So what would be funny is if they don't actually announce a Wii 2.
I know, besides
that would be funny.
I would love that so much because you're gonna get people like, oh, you know, Nintendo disappointed.
All of this press that is going on right now would be for nothing whatsoever.
I would just hold off on it until a special conference in like August and like, oh yeah, we just got Wii games to show you.
Yeah.
And Zelda, and
here's all our localized vape games from Japan, and that'll be it.
Okay.
Bye.
Just to piss off these people, because it's like, you know, because the only reason we talked about it this week is because Game Informer had it, then IGN picked it up, and Kotaku, and Joystick, and then Shark Toy.
It's just snowballed, because, you know, people have been, the thing is, because I was sat there and I was like, I should post something about this, because it's kind of, you know, people are going to want to read it. But then it snowballed. You know, it went onto another site. They added a little slight bit of information. Went onto another site. They added their own little like thing, and it's just got bigger and bigger and bigger.
How most of them claim to have their own sources?
Well, yeah. But the thing is, like,
how many bloody sources are there inside of Nintendo leaking this stuff out?
I think that's the thing. It'll be third party rather than coming from Nintendo.
Like I said before, CVG mentioned who told them, or Edge.
My only hope for E3 is that they do announce, say, the spec and show a showreel, and then, you know, maybe a prototype for it, like they did with the Revolution, and then.
Well, the Revolution, they just showed the console, and that was it.
Oh, didn't they?
This is a new system, we're out, peace.
Oh, was it Iwata like when, oh, you wanted a Revolution? Well, I'll give you a Revolution. And then he showed
he put it out of his pocket, yeah. And then it's like, oh, we're out. And then they showed the controller like that September, and then they had the full reveal at E3 2006.
Yeah, but basically, my only worry is that E3, they need to, like, come out with something that will make 360 and PS3 owners go, oh, what's this?
You see, I don't think,
I really think
it's difficult for Nintendo to do that. Especially, I think, because it's kind of like that, again, that audience where Nintendo franchises have that cut and kind of, you know, Nintendo believes in products that aren't two colors, Brown and Doc Brown. So people see that and they automatically think Kitty, and that's not for me.
Yeah,
and stuff
all
like
Nintendo
that.
Need to say is that, I don't know, the Wii 2 will be able to output a video 3D at a resolution of 14 gigapixels, and then they'll be like, oh my god! And
what they need to do is, like, say we have Call of Duty Modern Warfare 4 as our launch title exclusive for a month, and be like, we're out.
Well, I think that... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, you go. Oh, no. Sorry, you go.
From my perspective, I think, like, at the end of the day, the reason why these rumors are, like, getting so big is because it's what a lot of the gaming community wants, and it's what they've all been complaining about for forever and a day. And if it's true, then, of course, the thing that'll be funny is that all three consoles will kind of be the same thing, because they'll all have HD and they'll all have motion controls. And that seems to be what everyone wants, in a way.
We want a one-console future.
Yeah.
Who said we didn't want the same one console? But yes, I think...
But we can carry on.
My bad. Okay, for Dual World in episode 28, we'll cut that out, too. And I want to give a special thanks for... Alex and Eddie for joining us.
Soon to be regulars because some people can't turn up.
And Dan, you for being a guest 20 weeks in a row now. So yeah, we'll catch you next week.
Bye.